May I say to each and every one of you how glad I am to see you, and I hope that you'll make an effort to be back with us this evening at 5 o'clock, because we want to come back and assemble ourselves together, and I want to talk with you just for a little while this evening, as well as this morning, about the effect of God's Word upon you as an individual, not as a husband, not as a wife, not as a son or daughter, but as an individual. Because in God's sight, you are an individual. And certainly God loves you, and I hope that you'll make an effort to be back with us at the appropriate time. Have you got your Bible with you this morning? I want you to turn with me, and let's do a little study, a little talking, a little thinking. I don't like to preach at people. I like to preach and talk with people. Kind of relax. Let your mind go back with me. And I want you to see Jesus as an individual comes to Him. And this individual, I know him well. I think you do too. Because he's a young man or a man that comes there. And we're looking at the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. And this man is a wealthy man. And he's got one thing on his mind. I've often wondered why he came with this question, though. As he comes to Jesus there in the 16th verse, he comes there and he says, "Behold, one came to him and said, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that's God. But if thou wilt enter the life, keep the commandments.' And he said unto him, 'Which?'" Now notice, all of these things that are listed there, and I'll not go through reading them all, the next 18th and 19th verses there. "Now this young man said, after he had been told what he had to do in order to have eternal life, he has asked a question, and I've changed it just a little bit here. It will not hurt the thought at all. But the question that I ask you this morning is, what does it cost?" Have you ever thought about that? You go down here and you're going to buy a car, or maybe a house, or whatever it might be. Let's take a car, first of all, for instance. We'll look at several things. And you go in there, and the man's got a car sitting out here. You look at it, you think, "Well, boy, that's just what I'm looking for. It's got the type color that I want. It's got the interior that I want. It's got all the bells and whistles and all of the things that I really need, and this is what I want." So we go in, and our sales rep comes, and he starts telling you how glad he is to see you. He wants to show you this car. And you're interested in it. You've already looked at it, but now there's one question on your mind. What does it cost? This man is going to go all the way around that car. He's going to tell you everything about it, from the time it left the factory to the time it got to his showroom, before he ever tells you what it's going to cost. He'll tell you all about it, how well it runs, how many miles per gallon, and everything else. But you've got one question. What does it cost? How much am I going to have to pay for it? Eventually, the question is answered. Well, it's going to cost you $30,000. Well, I can't pay that. I can't pay that. I didn't quite have that figure in mind. So you walk away. The price is too high, isn't it? Of course it is. Or maybe you're like myself. You have a call, a telephone. You pick a telephone up, say hello, and somebody says, "I am from Southern Windows and Sash and Door Company. I want to tell you, we've got one of the greatest sales you've ever heard of. And we can come out there and put windows and sashes and doors all over your house, and going to make it look like a brand new place, and just give you the greatest sales pitch you've ever heard." I mean, he just can't hardly wait to get to the point. You keep thinking, what's it going to cost? What is it going to cost? You ask him, "Well, what's the cost? And besides all of this that I've told you, it's got a guarantee that's going to last till your lifetime is extended. And so, what does it cost?" Well, finally, you'll wring their neck almost, and they'll tell you, "The price. Too high. Can't pay it." And the same thing goes with carpet cleaners, siding for the house, phone service. I have them all day long. So do you. Every one of us trying to sell a service or a product. And we say, what does it cost? And then it's over. It's all over. Because the price is too high or we don't need the service. Now here's a man. He's got everything. He's rich. Now that's a relative term. You may be rich. I may be rich. We all may be rich in one sense or another. But here's a man that's got it all. He comes to Jesus, and as he comes there, and I've often wondered, why are you there? What are you looking for? Why have you come? Have you come to impress Jesus with your wealth? Or do you really anticipate and look for an answer to a question? Has somebody else already tried to answer it? You wasn't satisfied? Or did you want to say how great you are? When he is told all of these things you must do, such as do no murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, etc., ad finem. All you go through all of this. What is his response? Just look at him now. Analyze him. See him as Jesus might have seen him. Is he just proud? Is he just boastful? Is he just trying to impress somebody? All of these things I've kept from my youth. That's great. Well, then why are you here asking this question? Well, okay, you asked for it. Here's the answer. Only one thing do you lack. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. And Jesus said, now here's your answer. If you would be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. There's the price tag. He's got to separate himself from all the things that he has clutched to and called sacred in his life. His wealth. His prestige, his position, all of these things have got to be put away. Jesus said, you're going to have to get rid of them and then come and follow me. You know, I remember another man one time. He's got two names. One, the first name that I knew him by was Levi. And you know what? He had a table much like this, as I had my imagine. And as people came by, he was a tax collector. That was his job. He was a Jew collecting taxes for Rome, and the people despised him. That's the truth. He was despicable in the eyes of his fellow countrymen. And yet when Jesus came by and he saw this man sitting there at customs, taking the money, knocking down a little bit for himself, Jesus said one thing to him, and this was the price he had to pay. Follow me. That's all he said. He didn't have to go into a great dialogue of what all that Matthew, you'll know him as, is going to have to give up. He didn't go into all a great dialogue of what it's going to cost your job. You're going to have to quit your job. You're going to have to give up all that money that's coming in. All Jesus said was, follow me. Matthew, Levi, whichever you prefer, was willing to pay that price. He got up and followed Jesus right then and there. Now that's what this man here is given the opportunity to do. Go sell all that you got. Give it to the poor and come, follow me. And then of course you'll have treasure in heaven. And the Bible, look at the next statement there. But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowfully. You know, whenever the preacher preaches and he comes to the Bible and he says, here's what the Word says. This is not an opinion. This is what God's Word says you must do in order to have eternal life. Is the price too high? Is it too high for you or for me or for my family? It very well could be. And so it is that this young man heard what Jesus said. And then he turned and he went away. He went away sorrowfully but he went away. The price was too high. The car was too expensive. The windows cost too many dollars. And so on. The perfect example 2,000 years ago of the same thing. And as Jesus watches him go there, and he says, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, he's got people standing around listening to him. And some of his disciples are these individuals, and one is Peter. And Peter says there in the 27th verse, he says, "And then Peter said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What are we going to have?" Did Peter have any right to ask that question? Yes, sir, he did. He's saying, "Jesus, what's it going to cost us? What are we having to do? Lord, we have given up all that we have to follow you." Now, Peter, did you really? Yes, he did. Peter was a professional, commercial fisherman. If you know anything about this particular area of work, you know that it is an expensive work. You have to have a boat that's adequate to do the job in calm weather and in bad weather. You have to have nets that have to be constantly replaced. You have to have all of the ramifications. You have to have helpers that work on the boat. It's quite an enterprise. And this man got down off of the boat and walked out and left it all to follow Jesus. He had a right to say, "All right, I've left everything. What's in it for me?" Would you have asked that? No, I think I would have. I think I would have. And Jesus said that you're following me. And he said, "You may have given up all of these things. You've forsaken your homes, your brethren, your family, and everything else." But he says, "Here's something that's going to be even more precious than money. It's going to be even more precious than your boat you had to leave, or the house you had to leave, or the family you had to leave. It's called eternal life." Now, folks, I don't care how much money you might be able to write a check for. You cannot buy 1 minute in eternity. Once the life thread is snapped, death occurs, there is no more hope. It's gone, it's over, and there is going to be nothing more that's going to be said about it. We've had our opportunity. We've had every bit of it. Now, if we go back and we say, "Well, here's something I wrote to myself." And I said, "It's most important to see what is being offered as opposed to what is being asked." Now think about that just a minute. Is it more important to ask what is being offered as opposed to what it's going to cost us? There was an occasion when an old man, a senior citizen, his name was Saul of Tarsus. He was standing before a governor, but then he came before a king. And Agrippa is the man's name, and he's standing there. And he says, "Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that you do. Paul preaches to this man one of the greatest sermons and gives him the greatest opportunity to become a Christian. This man says, 'Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.' Paul says, 'I wish to God that you were. I wish to God that you were a Christian, just like I am.' Agrippa said, I'll wait. I'll wait another day.' He put it off. And I find no evidence in the search of history of Josephus or anywhere else that this king ever came back to that point where he was at this time and said there, 'I'm going to be a Christian.' Not at all. Never. Now, let your mind go back and let's see another young man who's willing to pay a price. Now, he's an enterprising young man. He's got the world by the horn, so to speak. He's going and getting things done. He's a go-getter, as we say in the business world today. His name is, he's got two names also. You all know him as Saul of Tarsus. don't you? I know this man. I've read so much about him over the 53 years that I've been preaching the gospel that I feel like I could pick him out of a crowd because he would stand out. He was the type of man that had the audacity to stand up and say what he believed. He was the type of man that said, I hate the Gentile. I hate these people who are calling themselves Christians. I hate them with such animosity that I'm going to get a warrant. I'm going over here and I'm going to get authority. And I'm going down here and I'm going to persecute them. And I'm going to put them in jail. I don't care if they kill them. I'm going to do it. Go back there. Read it. Chapters 6, 7, 8, 9. There in the book of Acts. Get the whole story. Read the whole thing. Don't just pick out one. Here he is. He's on the road going down to Damascus. A great city. A great many Christians there. He's got the authority. He can flash his badge, so to speak, and he's the man. As he's on the road there, though, there's something happens. This individual is visited by Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ has already died. Jesus Christ has already ascended. He's already gone back to heaven. But nevertheless, this man, Paul, or Saul, whichever you prefer, is stricken. He's in the dirt. He's crawling there. And he said, who are you? I can't see you. What's happening? He said, I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Paul is hard to kick against the pricks. It's hard to kick back because every time you kick, you're getting stuck. What would you have me do, Lord? What is it you want me to do? What's the price you want me to pay? Go on into the city and there it'll be told. Now, I've often wondered, why didn't Jesus just say, all right, Saul, here's the job. Here's the way we're going to handle it. All of your sins, all of your transgressions, all of your animosity, all of your hatred is going to be changed to love for the brethren. And you just go right on in here and they're going to receive you. No, that's not what happened. Jesus said, go on into the city and there it will be told. There's a preacher there, Ananias. Ananias is told, I've got a man down here I want you to go see. Anybody ever tell you that? Anybody ever tell you that? Say, I've got a person I'd like you to go see. You're a Christian, Jerry. You're a Christian. And I want you to go see him. Don, I want you to go see him and talk to him. What do you say? I'm busy. I can't go right now, but I'll try to get there sooner or later. We might call on the telephone, but most likely, the way that it generally happens is that individual that's given the responsibility or opportunity to make contact with a non-believer or a person that's wandered back into the world will never do it. They'll never do it. But this man Ananias said, Lord, I don't know that we're doing this right or not. He said, now, I know this man. I know his reputation. I know he has been oppressive to the church. He's just a terrible person. Are you sure you want me to do this? Yes, he's a chosen vessel. I've got a job for him. But what did Paul have to give up in order to be a Christian? And do you know what the Christian life for Paul was? It was a beating. I mean, somebody with a stick, somebody with a rod, beating him. Like a dog. It was shipwrecked on an island, cold, wet, in strange places. It meant he lost his position in the Sanhedrin. He lost all of his income. He lost everything. He lost it, but it was all incorporated in paying the price that he had to pay. One man said, I can't pay it. And he turned and he left. He walked away and he was sorrowful. Paul said, I'll pay it. And he does. And history records the greatest author of the greatest letters of the greatest book in the history of mankind. It's the Holy Bible. And Paul has written more letters in the New Testament than any of the other writers, to my knowledge. This man was willing to pay the price. Oh, I know he gave up a good job. He probably had pretty good income. But you know, Paul had to depend on churches to support him. And now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given an order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. You at Corinth. And these individuals would send support to Paul. He was a missionary. He went from place to place to place to place. He paid the price. And it was terrible. Can you just imagine what it would be like moving to be arrested? How handcuffs chained. Chains on your arms every hour of every day with a guard on either side of you. That's how despicable his life had become. And yet, he's sitting there writing the epistles. He's writing to Christians, admonishing them, be willing to pay the price. And the price is high. Because it's going to cost some of you your lives. And some of you it's going to cost more than that. But I go back here and I find that Peter has said, Lord, we've left it all. How much have you given for the life that you lived for Christ? How much has it cost you? Have you had to lose a few friends maybe? Have you found that some of the things that you used to do, you can't do anymore? And they were pleasurable. I've never drank, even when I was in the military service. I never could develop a taste for either or any of it. But that doesn't mean that some of you, possibly in your past years, have not had the habit of drinking. Or of using whatever prescription drugs it might have been. But you've been able to get away from it. You've been able to break away from the clutches of this particular thing. And now you say, I can do it. This man that had so much money walked away and he says, I can't do it. Paul says, I can do it. And when Ananias goes in there and preaches to this man, and he says, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Paul does it. He never regrets it a day. I've heard men say, boy, I wish I hadn't married that woman. I've heard women say, man, I wish I hadn't married that person. They've become aggressive. They've become domineering. They've become all of the things. I wish I just would rather live by myself. Paul is going to go through the fire. But he's going to remain faithful. And so I want you to do, what does it cost? What does it cost to be a Christian? The cost is high, friends. The cost is high because sometimes you're going to lose a friend. You may have a husband or a wife that might say, well, why in the world do you want to go to church all the time? That's all I hear from you. Church, church, church. Thank you. Thank you for being that steadfast in the service to God Almighty. I'm proud of you. Because God Almighty is proud of you. And He says to you and to me on the day that He calls us all to the throne of glory. When time is no more and the earth is bound up and wound up and burned up and all things are through. And it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And we stand and we look into the face of God. And what will He say? You paid the price. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Won't that be worth it all? Oh yeah. You won't have any more sickness. You won't have any more tears. You won't ever have another siren go down in front of the house with an ambulance loaded with somebody making a run to the hospital at Southern Hills and it's a life and death situation. Won't be any more of that. Won't be any more getting up, going to work in the morning, grumbling about having to work 40, 50, 60 years to make a living. All of these things are physical, and they're passed away. But won't it be wonderful to hear God Almighty, That individual that spoke the world into being, that spoke everything that is here today and gave it all a purpose. Won't it be wonderful to have God Almighty say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord." Jesus said in John 14, and this is the last thought I'll give you today. You've been most patient, and I love you, and I thank you for it. Jesus said this, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then he goes further, and he expounds on it a little further. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Whether I go, when I go, you don't know the time, but it's going to be there." He said, "There are many mansions there, and they're made for you and for me, and they're waiting for us." I have an idea that every person in this gathering this morning is a Christian, a strong Christian, a dedicated Christian, and I'm proud of you. But if that assumption is in error, and you're here today, and for any reason you want to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ, if you've got something on your mind that you want us to pray with you about, and I ask you, as your preacher today, remember me and my family in your prayers, always. And certainly we remember the congregation in our prayers. But if we can be of any assistance, if I or Jerry or Melvin or Don, whomever, it doesn't matter. But if there's any way, any reason that you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ, you have that opportunity while we stand and sing. Brother Jerry, would you lead us?